gifts to us as individuals and as a congregation, and we give you thanks, O Lord. And we know that you will bless. So I pray you'll bless us now as we look at your word for a few moments and open our eyes and ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us today. I pray in Yeshua's name. Amen. In January, we will hear this coming January, we will hear these words. I do solemnly swear that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States and will, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. Congratulations, Mr. President. And after the ever-increasing lengthy presidential campaigns that we experience in our nation here, it will culminate in the oath of office for the blessed individual that begins his new job. All the campaigning, all that work for the years has gone on now, all the struggle, the traveling, the speeches will all come to an end, and the new person will have finally arrived at his job. And it'll just be an easy street from there on, right? It hasn't even begun. But that person will have worked their head off for the last several years in reality, even getting to that point. Sometimes we think when we reach the goal that we finally have arrived, and many times it's just the beginning, a new beginning. And so it is with the children of Israel once they finally arrived in the promised land. And I've been reading the book of Joshua recently and was touched to see that though they had survived 40 years of trial in the desert, new ones awaited them upon arrival that they would have to face and overcome. Similarly today, as Al and Charlene will be leaving, and they'll be going to the promised land of Texas, and they'll be facing new challenges there as well as we do. And so it is true of the believer. Often we think, we see someone, they finally come to accept Messiah Yeshua. Maybe it's been years and years of struggle of faith to finally accept him. And you think, I've finally arrived. And in reality, it's just the beginning. Soon they find that's not the case, and a new whole new process begins. And so the title of my message today is Promised Land Challenges. Promised Land Challenges. And my theme today is to encourage us to continue partnering with God to grow. Continue partnering with God to grow. So I'd like to explore this theme briefly by examining some of the challenges the Israelites faced upon entering the Promised Land and show some parallels with us as New Covenant believers as we grow in our faith. So we'll briefly look at five challenges. I'll try to do these quickly because I know it's late. First is the circumstances they face. Secondly, clearing. Thirdly, seeking. Fourth, surveying. And finally, serving. So Joshua, I think, kind of gets overlooked. He's so overshadowed by Moses in the Torah. The book of Joshua is like, forget that. Here's the Torah, you know, the five books of Moses. Whoever reads the book of Joshua, nobody thinks much of Joshua. He took over from Moses to lead the people of Israel into the land. But it's very interesting to read his story and to read the book of Joshua and all that took place at that time. So I'd like to look at a couple of five examples here of things that we can learn from. The first is we read in Joshua chapter 15, verse 63, that they had to face real circumstances there. And we read here that Judah could not dislodge the Jebusites who were living in Jerusalem. And to this day, the Jebusites have lived there with the people of Judah. Then we read in Joshua 16, verse 10, it says, they, referring to the Ephraimites did not dislodge the Canaanites living in Gezer. To this day, the Canaanites live among the people of Ephraim, but are required to do forced labor. And so there's several other examples of where others kept living there. And so the lesson we see here is that they had to accept the circumstances of where they were and live with it. Even though they couldn't dislodge these people, they still had to live amongst them, and so it happened. And so do we when we become a believer. Though we may have endured a lengthy process to come to faith and experience the joy and freedom of our sins being forgiven and lifted off of us, we still have to face the reality of our own lives, the circumstances of our own lives. Coming to faith in Yeshua doesn't automatically change all of our circumstances. If we had a bad marriage before we came to accept Yeshua, it won't be immediately cured. If we had relational problems with family members, they're still going to remain. If we face financial problems, employment problems, children problems, they all are still there. If we have physical problems and sicknesses and illnesses, they will still be there unless Yeshua heals us. Of course, he can heal. And I've heard many testimonies of drug addicts who came to know Yeshua and were instantly delivered of that of their addiction. But then I've known people who weren't delivered. So, but we have a new way of coping with it. We have the love of Messiah in us, and we can have the power to overcome and face these things. But still, there's the reality. I had a wonderful, my youth leader when I was at the church that I grew up in, was a wonderful woman named Yvonne Woods, and she later in life developed all kinds of illnesses, and nobody could understand why. She just was, just compounded how many illnesses she had, and she was a wonderful, wonderful woman. And it seemed unfair from God. Why would this woman who done nothing in life but serve you incredibly, was so sick, and sick and sick and never could get over it, and ended up being on dialysis for a long period of time. And heard that when she would go into the dialysis center, everyone knew her because they could see the love of Yeshua in her heart. Even though she was struggling and suffering, she still shined forth with the love of Yeshua. And it was touched their lives, the people that she was there with. So even the circumstances of her life, though harsh and difficult, we can still make a difference in our lives. I remember several months ago that Raphael was celebrating that he had received a job, and unfortunately he's back in the same condition again. They're still seeking again. But I'll never forget Sylvia honoring her husband. And telling us that he didn't just sit around and mope, that he went and served the poor. He went and worked in the soup kitchen and served breakfast for days and days, many days a week. So we can live within the circumstances we have in life, but still can approach it with a new attitude. We see this in the scriptures, because even Paul tells us in Colossians 3, 22 through 24, he says, "Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Messiah you are serving." So here there were slaves who came to know Yeshua. Think of their circumstances. But yet they were still living with it, and Paul spoke to them. Also, we read in Philippians 4, 11 through 13, Paul says, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Messiah who strengthens me." Can we all repeat that with me? I can do all things through Messiah who strengthens me. Once again, I can do all things through Messiah who strengthens me. So we've dealt with the first lesson of circumstances of our life. Secondly, let's look at another truth that we need to learn when we know accept Yeshua, is that we need to clear some things out of the way. So a clearing. And we read in Joshua chapter 17, verses 15 through 18, that this is what Joshua said to the people of Joseph. He said, "If you are so numerous," Joshua answered, and if the hill country of Ephraim is too small for you, go up into the forest and clear land for yourselves there in the land of the Perizzites and Rephaites." The people of Joseph replied, "The hill country is not enough for us, and all the Canaanites who live in the plain have iron chariots, both those in Bethshan and its settlements and those in the valley of Jezreel." But Joshua said to the house of Joseph, to Ephraim and Manasseh, "You are numerous and very powerful. You will have not only one allotment, but the forested hill country as well. Clear it, and its farthest limits will be yours. Though the Canaanites have iron chariots, and though they are strong, you can drive them out." Go clear the land and drive out. So they had to go out and clear the land of enemies and forests, clear the land in order to make it livable. And what's interesting, what struck me here, is that it was the responsibility of this tribe to do this. It wasn't the responsibility of all Israel to do this, the whole community. It got down to that tribe. You take care of yourself. And so it is with believers. Just because we have come to accept Messiah Yeshua, we too have to clear out the brush of our lives and fight and conquer enemies that we have in our way. There is a role we play. We have to work with God and partner with Him. It's not just sometimes God automatically does things, but oftentimes and most times we have to work together with Him. As we read in Colossians 3, verses 5 through 11, he says, "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming, and you need to walk You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. So he's telling him, put to death. You have to do it. You put to death. You rid yourselves of these things. God will help us, but he has to work together with us. We have to put it to death. And we read in Ephesians 4:22 the same thing. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, but to be made new in the attitude of your minds and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So we take off, put off and put on. That's something we have to do. So we work with God. So part of this clearing process is us clearing it out of our own lives. We have to do that as well. The third lesson we read is that of the need for seeking. We read in Joshua 18, verses 1 through 2. The whole assembly of the Israelites gathered at Shiloh and set up the tent of meeting there. The country was brought under their control, but there were still 7 Israelite tribes who had not yet received their inheritance. So they had arrived in the land, but 7 tribes had not received their inheritance. They were still seeking it. Where is my inheritance? Where is what belongs to me? They had not received all their inheritance yet, and there was more to come. And so we as believers have spiritual inheritances as well that we can receive that require some effort on our part. I speak primarily of the gifts of the Spirit. We read in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1, says, "Now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant." I don't want you to be ignorant of these things. And then we jump down to verse 4. It says, "There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men." Not just the favored few, in all men, all of us, all of you, have the right inheritance to spiritual gifts. "Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." The role of gifts, of spiritual gifts, is not for you to be a big shot. It's for the common good of all of us here in a body of believers. We all work together as a body. There's the arm, a leg, the ears, the eyes, the nose, all have a different role to play. And we all need one another to function fully as a body. We read further in 1 Corinthians 12:31 says, "But eagerly desire the greater gifts." Eagerly desire it. In 1 Corinthians 14:1 says, "Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy." Now, I grew up in a denomination that did not emphasize these things. Yet they are true. What do we emphasize in the Messianic Jewish world that may be slighting other areas of spiritual truth that there are in the Scriptures? Are we any different than anybody else? We focus so much on our distinctives that we forget the common things that we're all supposed to be as believers in Messiah Yeshua. There's a balance of all of it. We don't forego one for the other. There's a balance that we all need to grow in. One of the goals I like to see in the Messianic congregation is us winning secular Jews who do not believe in Yeshua and don't attend synagogue, of which 80% of Jews do not attend. And wouldn't it be a beautiful thing if they came to know Yeshua and they began to rediscover their Jewish roots and their Jewish life and began to observe Shabbat, began to observe the feasts? They may never get to the level you're at, but just to rediscover that and then begin to teach their children, what a beautiful thing that would be. But there's need to be seeking. Are we seeking after the things of God, the spiritual things of His that are available to us? The fourth lesson we can learn is that the need to survey. In Joshua 18, verses 8 through 9, Joshua says to the men, "As the men started on their way to map out the land, Joshua instructed them, 'Go and make a survey of the land and write a description of it. Then return to me and I will cast lots for you here at Shiloh in the presence of the Lord.' So the men left and went through the land. They wrote its description on a scroll town by town in 7 parts and returned to Joshua in the camp at Shiloh." So here we see the Israelites needing to take a survey of the land in order to determine its characteristics, its layout, the natural resources, mountains, rivers, all the defining characteristics of the land, in order that their inheritance could be further distributed. And then lots were drawn to see who got which section of land. In the same way, we as believers need to take stock, need to take time to survey our own spiritual lives as well. Where are we at? Psalm 139, verses 23 through 24, it tells us, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." How many times do we honestly come before the Lord and say, "Search me and see if there be any wicked way in me. Reveal it unto you." Do we honestly come before God? No one else. You and Him. And ask Him, "What is it in me? Show me so that I can improve and grow and get rid of that in my life." Sometimes I think we need to do like a little, when I wasn't working, many of you are familiar with this, you have performance evaluations at work. In fact, I was a supervisor for 10 years when I was in the government, and I enjoyed being a supervisor, but the one part I hated the most were doing the annual performance evaluations. We'd have to rate people, you know, and evaluate them, and then have to sit down with them and tell them, you know, what, how great they were or how mediocre they were or areas they needed to improve in. That was the part I didn't like. But anyway, how often do we do a report card on ourselves? And I believe our report card is from Galatians 5, 22 through 23, which is up here on this little banner up here on my right. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." In my opinion, that is our report card. How do you rate yourself on all those characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit? The fruit means, here's the demonstration of the fruit of God in my life. Am I full of love, of joy, of peace, patience, kindness, goodness, all these things? And of course, we know the greatest of these is love. Romans 13:10 says, "The fulfillment of the law is love." And what is love? 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8 tells us love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Where are you at on the love scale? Do we love like that? As the ultimate of the law is love. Where do we stand? The final area is that of the need of serving one another. We read in Joshua 19:9, says, "The inheritance of this Simeonites was taken from the share of Judah, because Judah's portion was more than they needed. So the Simeonites received their inheritance within the territory of Judah." So the portion of land that Judah had was so large that they could easily accommodate the needs of the tribe of Simeon. And so they shared with them and served their brothers. Shared with them and sacrificed their land to them. In the same way, we as believers need to be mindful of the needs of our fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord and serve one another. Many, many years ago in a home group in my home, I did a whole lesson. I found this little book in a Christian bookstore of all places. The name of the book was One Anothering. And it took all the scriptures in the New Covenant. It says, love one another, serve one another, bear with one another, and all these things that it talks about in the scripture. And there was like a separate chapter on every one of them. So we did a whole study over a long number of months on all these one anotherings. How are we supposed to treat one another? A couple of examples of this we find in Colossians 3, verses 13 through 17. It says, "Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another." Forgiving one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. "And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Messiah rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Messiah dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Yeshua, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Another example we read in James chapter 5, verses 13 through 15. "Is any of you in trouble? he should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any of you sick? He should call the elders of the congregation to pray over him and anoint him with the oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. On behalf of the elders, I can tell you that this rarely happens. Yet anyone comes to us and said, would the elders please anoint us, me, for with oil for healing? I'd honestly think about once a year, maybe. Wouldn't you guys agree? And it's rare that people come forward, and this is a word of faith in the Scripture. Another part of one anothering, serving one another. Galatians 6:1 says, brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Restore them who are in sin. You gently rebuke them, lest you also enter into the sin. What I'm talking about here is body life, the body of Messiah, serving one another. It's important. It's so important and critical to be a part of a body of Messiah and to be committed, not just on the fringes. It's one of the saddest things to me. I've seen people who know better drift into the fringes of congregational life and get out of true fellowship. Not only for their own sake, but because we need you. You have something to offer. Why? Because the Scripture just said so. The gifts you have are for the edifying of the whole body. So if you kind of withdraw, we're missing what the goodness and gifts and talents that you have that we need. Our havaraz are a beautiful place where this can happen. I know it takes time, and I know it's difficult, and we all have to work. But it's amazing what we can do when we really want to do something. So my theme today has been to encourage us to continue partnering with God to grow. And we explored this theme by examining some of the challenges the Israelites faced when they entered the promised land and seeing parallels with challenges we face walking in God's ways as new covenant believers. So we looked at five challenges, circumstances that we must deal with in our lives, clearing out the way, seeking the inheritance that we have through the Spirit, surveying and taking an honest assessment of our own lives and serving one another. So let us be victorious in our walks with the Lord. Let us not be discouraged when we deal with circumstances, the realities of our lives. When we run into areas in our lives that need to be cleared away, when we seek the new spiritual truths and gifts that are part of our inheritance, that we can embrace, when we see, after surveying our lives, areas we need to improve upon, and let us continue to serve one another in love and fulfillment of God's Torah, of His law. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to learn from your word, to glean truth. I pray you'll help us all, Lord, as we deal with the circumstances of life. Help us in our victory, in our walk, to put off the old man, to clear the way. I pray you help us to seek the spiritual truths and inheritance that is available to us, of the vitality of the life of the Spirit. Help us to do honestly survey and analyze and assess our own lives, not to criticize ourselves, but to seek improvement, because we want to be more like you. We want to be holy. And help us in our serving each other to serve in love that ties it all together. We ask in the name of Yeshua. Amen. Amen.